I sort of feel like the guy that used to get up to preach, he'd put a mint in his mouth, and when the mint was all gone, he knew it was time to shut up. And one Sunday, he just went on and on and on and on and on, and after it was over with, his wife said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Well, I found out later I had a button in my mouth." There are so many things I'd like to talk about, but I've pretty well agreed to discipline myself this morning. It's great to be here, and it's nice to see some of you that I've not seen for a while, and we're looking for a good crowd in the October conference. My wife she's amazing. She's had this shoulder problem that if you don't understand what it is, she's half bionic woman. That's what she is. She's got a titanium knee and titanium hip, and now she's got a titanium shoulder. And it healed real good, did real fine, until she fell on the ice and broke it. And we found out for the first time that doctors who put those things in, they don't tell you that if you mess it up, they can't fix it. They sent her home for 6 weeks. She had to basically endure the pain and lay still until the bone began to grow back. And she can do this and this and this, but she can't do this or this with her arm. But she works very hard. She's very good at what she does. And she's looking with great pleasure to October and the people who are coming. So I told Brother Don last night, I said, "Do you remember the first time you ever heard me preach and where I met you?" And he said, "Yes." And he gave me a spot that I didn't remember. And I gave him a spot that he finally remembered. I preached in Wiki's church years ago when I was traveling around with the school issue. And I preached then on the subject of what's wrong with the Christian identity is they can't build a church. They don't want to build a church. And the Bible is very strong that Jesus Christ came and died for the church. And if you don't have a church, and so I told him I was going to review some of that this morning. But before I do that, I want to tell you that Brother Blanchard is one of the things about his illness is that it's a lesson for us, because most people believe once you take the COVID shot, you're in good shape. The trouble is, the real truth is, you just entered into bad shape because it never ends. I'll throw this out. There are some good things going to happen in the near future, and there are some bad things going to happen. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, because I think it's in my next mailing. I'm not sure, but there. For instance, as we were traveling, you know that your cell phone will automatically change time zones. Well, it didn't, and I double checked it, and it wouldn't. And the reason it wouldn't is because one of the things they predicted would happen happened. That is that we have, up in the sky, we have some really old satellites, a lot of them. They control weapons. They control communication, all the TV stations, all the news media, all of that, and your telephones. All of that goes through the satellite system. That's owned by the Rothschild bankers. What we were not told is that our nation, over the last 2 or 3 years, has put up over 164 new satellites. And they're getting ready to knock out the old ones and shut off the news. But it'll also temporarily shut off your cell phone. And it'll also temporarily shut off any kind of communication. And the only communication you'll get will be coming through what's called the National Broadcasting System out of Washington, D.C. I'm not sure it's in Washington anymore, but that's where it originated from. And it'll be stuff that the President Trump and the Alliance have put together about people who are being taken out of government and why. One of the problems we have in America is that whether our people want to admit it or not, they're hooked on the national news media. And if they don't see it there, even my own son, I sent him a video about something called a med bed. I don't want to get into that too deep, but there are med beds that can do miraculous things. But the patents are all stolen by the Rothschild bankers, and they built them and they kept them and they didn't let the public know about them. They can actually, before you go on that bed, they take out a sample of your blood and your flesh, and they figure out the DNA, your DNA. They put that DNA in that machine, and it goes through your entire body, and it removes anything that is counter to that DNA, which is cancer. Removes it. They can turn back your age by 40 years. No longer Soros looks like he's 200 years old. They can grow a limb that has been cut off. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with it. And I sent that to my son. I said, what do you think about this? And he wrote back and said, well, I haven't seen anything on the media about this. I said, well, if you had it, I wouldn't have sent it to you. That's the problem, folks, is if you're waiting to hear that the president was killed or that the vice president was arrested or Hillary Clinton's been executed on the news media, you ain't ever going to hear it. It's not ever going to be said, even if it's true. They're not going to tell you that. So if you're wanting to find out what's going on, you got to find another source of information. But anyway, there are some things that are being projected over the next few months before the end of the year. They're saying that we may have some blackouts with electricity. We may have, and that's already happened in a few places. I don't think it's going to be universal, but even if it is, God will take care of us. I believe God still loves his people, and I believe that he still is going to take care of us. You have to remember that God does two things. You can always count on God to do two things. Number one is he'll judge sin. And if it's in his people, he'll still judge it. He'll still make the judgment. But number two is he loves his people of Israel more than anything else in all the universe. And he will protect them and fight for them. And it says in Ezekiel 37 through 38 and 9 that his fury will come up in his face when he sees the enemy, what they're trying to do. He sees what they're doing with this COVID situation. And it is a weapon, folks. It is not a virus. And that's the problem, is that, and a lot of people are saying, the reason I told you about the med bed is because a lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to get the shot. And if it messes me up, that's okay. The med bed's going to come out and it'll fix me. And what Dr. Tenpenny over here in Ohio is saying is, listen, folks, that machine works off of that sample of DNA at the moment they take it. If you had the shot, you already got the altered DNA, and you'll keep having an altered DNA. And when they put it in that bed machine, it'll make you just like it says it will. It isn't going to change anything. It isn't going to fix you at all. So we've lost some people because of the COVID. We had two families that were so scared to death they didn't come to church for a year. They stayed home. They wouldn't even go anywhere. And when their kids took a shot and their grandkids took the shot, they blackmailed them and said, you can't see your grandkids if you don't take the shot. So they took the shot. And I had to write a letter to all my people and say, look, if you took the shot, don't come to church. You're dangerous. Don't come to the conference. Miss Tenpenny over here said, I used the word shedding. How many of you saw the little book? Now, what's in there is true. There's nothing not true, but the name shedding is probably, she says, is probably not the best use. And the reason for that is if you get a shot for chicken pox and you shed, you give somebody chicken pox. But when you have COVID and you take a shot for COVID when you shed, you don't give them COVID. We don't know what you give us, but it made Dr. Blanchard sick. What it does is whatever comes out of that body attacks your immune system. And therefore, you are made subject to all kinds of problems. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps alternating that DNA and changing the DNA. And it's making you susceptible with those metallic nanobots. It's making you susceptible to the 5G, which is going to be coming in our way. And they will be able to actually communicate with you in a way that's subliminal, and you will be doing things that you would never have done. And you will also respond to them, not verbally or willingly, but your body will send messages, and they will be reading you. They will know where you are. They will know what you're thinking. They'll know what you're feeling and how you're living your life. So, folks, it ain't over yet. And the enemy knows what they're doing. They knew that if they could vaccinate half the people, those people would destroy the other half. And that's what they're working on, and that's what they're counting on. So you say, well, what do I do? I never know. I need another haircut. I apologize. I haven't been home for a while. But last time I went to get a haircut, I thought about that. My barber probably took the shot. So what do? You go home. And as quick as you can, you take a shower, wash off, and get sanitized or whatever you can. That's what you do. There isn't any other way, and you trust God. I believe that God is able, as we talked about anointing Brother Don. I don't know why God has given this opportunity to me. I'm not worthy of it. It's not anything that I'm doing. And I believe any one of you could do it. But there's something about laying on of hands and anointing with oil. And then the Lord gave us the key that I don't hear many Baptists or CI people using. The Pentecostals do it all the time. But the Lord said to his apostles, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. And anything you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. We prayed for a lady. She worked at Walmart, comes to our church. And she was getting well, better, healthy, wise. She's older. But her feet were killing her. I don't know what was wrong with her feet. But she came to the front and said, I want to be anointed and prayed for my feet. I'm on my feet all day, and I can't do it. I can't keep my job if I don't do something. So I asked the men to come, and we anointed her with oil, and we prayed. And she sent my wife a text a week later and said, you know, my feet are okay. And next time I saw her, she said, well, I might have said a little early, so one of them's never bothered me since. The other one's still got a problem. I want you to anoint me again. And we did, and we prayed for her. And as far as I know at this point, they've both been healed. But my healing was phenomenal. And my wife, she came out of the Lutheran church. And it broke my heart, and I cried a little bit. I'm kind of teary. The older I get, the more teary I am. I don't know why. But she said, you know, I've seen more miracles in the last 2 or 3 years with you than I did in a whole. So I never saw anything like this in the Lutheran church. Now, I don't believe it's because they couldn't have it. I just don't believe they want to have it or know how to have it or are willing to have it. I think sometimes people in the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Episcopalians, they're too afraid we're going to get emotional. Well, God likes a little emotion once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. And I believe that there's something about laying on hands and praying and binding. When I pray for somebody and I anoint them with oil, I say, Lord, I want you to bind everything in this body that is causing it to be sick. And I want you to loose everything in this body that will bring about healing. And God has blessed that for some reason. I've seen some really miraculous things happen. And my wife has seen that happen also. But this morning, I kind of want to emphasize, because I know it's wonderful to you people that live where you can drive here to come once in a while. How many of you come here maybe once a month or so? Any of you do that? One here, these people back here. You know, if you can get here once a month, do it. You need to be in a church. You need to be in a church. I'm going to read from Ephesians. Well, let's go to Matthew, first of all. Matthew, too many verses, and I don't have time to do all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. There are several passages in the Scripture that deal more deeply and directly with the church than even I, as a Baptist, we were strong on church, but we were never taught some of these things, and I think we need to look at it. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and verse 1. This is a long chapter, but I'm going to read it, and I'll try to comment it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, and let me say this, the church is the only place where spiritual gifts are going to be blessed at their best as a group from the church. For instance, when in James, when God told his people, if you're sick, did he tell you to go to your neighbor who believes in Jesus and ask him to pray for you? No. Did he say, go find a preacher down here that he appointed himself and he's the pastor of some hillbilly church somewhere? Call him? No. He said, call the elders of the church, your church. If you don't have a church, you don't have any elders. He said, you call those elders and you have them pray for you. And the same thing about gifts. Verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles, or ye were the tribes, scattered tribes, carried away unto these dumb idols when ye were led, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And this is my complaint with these Pentecostals. I've got one or two. They always show up at my conference. They come in Houston last year, they were there. Then Branson before they were there. And they always want to get us off on tongues. And they want to get us off on that kind of thing. And I'm going to deal with that this morning a little bit. Wherefore, verse 3, I give you understanding that no man speak of Odyssey. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. So here we have gifts, administration, and diversities. And so we got three things that are going to be varied. They're going to be different. Not all going to be alike. But these Pentecostals, they want you to all say the same foreign words in your speaking in tongues. I know when I was dating my first wife, we went to a tent meeting put on by the local Assemblies of God. And the first thing we walked in, there were two ladies, and they turned around, shook her hand, and said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, in a Baptist tent meeting, we'd have turned around and said, have you been saved yet? They said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, sure. They said, oh, you've spoken in tongues. I said, that's not what you asked me. You asked me if I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I am. And they wanted to give me a long spiel. And I said, no, I've already studied that. And the sign of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not tongues, but it's power with God. You study the book of Acts. And there are differences of administration, and there are diversities. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So one has wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. Well, the Pentecostals say, no, we all got to have tongues. No, that's not what this says. This says some get wisdom, some get knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Another, gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And by the way, the word prophecy there is not when women get up in the middle of a service and tell you something that's going to happen in the future. This word prophecy means preaching. Amen. Preaching. verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Judean or we be scattered of the 10 tribes, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. But the body is one, not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole was hearing, where is the smelling? If it's all of tongues, where's the prophecy? Where's the healing? Where's the faith? Where's the knowledge? How stupid, that question. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where is the body? But now are they many members, yet one body, and one eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Verse 22, nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. I want to go down to verse 27. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I want you to remember that the body of Christ is the Israelites who've been called out and put in that body. And if you look at Acts chapter 15 and you look at Romans chapter 9, you find that the reason for that is he's rebuilding the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David is not only the house of David, but he's rebuilding also the temple and also the government, and also all of those that have to do with Zion. Right now, the Lord is calling out of his people those that he wants to be part of his body that will sit on the throne. That means during the kingdom, you're going to have a part to play in the enforcement of his law, in the preaching of his gospel, in the work that his kingdom has. You're privileged. You're getting called now. And no man cometh unto the Father except he be called by the Spirit. No man cometh to the Lord Jesus Christ except he be called by the Father. So, believe me, folks, you're special. I've had a lot of people ask me, and I know this, a lot of people are going to leave me on this one, but that's okay. I just ask you to think about it. I have a man, well, I've had so many people have written me and said, you know, I don't understand. I'm an Israelite, and I responded to the call. I came to the Lord, and I've been baptized into the church, and I work. But I've got a brother, he won't listen. I've got a sister, he won't listen, she won't listen. I've got cousins, I've got nephews, I've got... What's going to happen to those folks? I go right back here. Who said they all had to be called in this age? Where did you get that? You didn't get it from the Bible. The Bible says he's calling some for the rebuilding of the government of the kingdom. And it's in the church. The only kingdom on this earth today is the church. The kingdom of God is nowhere else. It's not in Washington. It's not in the state capitals. It's not anywhere else. It is in the church. And people who do not respond and come and be a part of the church, I'm sorry, but they're not part of the kingdom. Now, some people won't like that. But I believe there will be a day, if you read Revelation chapter 20, I believe there will be a day when the bride has been brought and the body of Christ has been seated and the government has begun, that those other Israelites will be given their opportunity to be called. I don't believe every Israelite has been called in this age. And if they don't get the call, they're not going to respond. Now, you're the body of Christ, verse 27, the members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And it says that also in the book of Colossians, that they are given the same thing. They're given, some are given to be apostles, and some secondarily prophets. And they, in the Colossians, he says, teaching pastors. Teaching pastors. Have all the gifts of healing, or do all speak with tongues? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and so forth. Go to, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And look at this. Some of the most important verses that we could have are in Ephesians. I have to find it. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to start in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now notice verse 3. This is very, very important. I wish I could get this across to God's people in the Christian Israel movement, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we in unity on doctrine? No. Are we going to be? No. Not till Christ comes back. So he says, don't work on trying to all agree on doctrine. We can't do it. But he said, you can work on the unity of the Spirit. Keep a good spirit. One of the prophets, the Lord said to him, watch your spirit. Don't get sour. Don't get sassy. You know, once in a while, my wife has to say, now watch your spirit, honey. don't speak that way to me. And I'll say, yeah, well, that's right. Amen. I'll straighten up. Now you straighten up too. but that's in my group, in our group, and God has blessed our group. We have a lot of people. We've lost maybe two families, I guess. I'm guessing that's all we've lost. One family, he's one of those guys that if he's not important in every service, then he's not worthy to be there, you know. So he was gonna, and he does live a long ways, I'll say that. Almost all of our people drive at least 2 hours to get to us, except for one. So if you can get to a church that's 2 or 3 hours within driving distance, you know, maybe you can't get there every Sunday. Maybe you can't get there for every service, but you ought to make it your business to get there at least once a month and try to be a part of that church. Because that's where you're going to get prayed for. That's where you're going to get the power most strong upon you. But it's much better if you know, I was kind of disappointed when Brother Don didn't say, yeah, come right on up and anoint me and pray for me, because I was eager. I was wanting to go. I was wanting to go do it. But, you know, once in a while, God has to say, hey, son, just calm down there. You can't do everything. So I don't take it as a personal, anything personal about it. I just wished I could have come. But he says, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Lord. There is one body, verse 4. And one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all and above all and through all. That unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Have you ever felt like you just didn't measure up to what everybody else did? I do a lot of times. You know why that is? Because that's the way the Lord keeps us humble. You probably have more grace than you realize. You probably have more power than you realize. But you know, some of us, we can't handle power very well. And he doesn't want us to become proud. Pride is probably the number one sin of Christians, and especially preachers. Preachers are a proud bunch. Amen. And they're hard to reach. It took me 3 years from the first time that I received any information about Christian identity in prison until I came out and said, I believe this and I'm moving to this doctrine. It was 3 years. One of the funniest stories I tell is I had come home in 1996. I'd gotten out of prison and all my, what do they call it? Where they watch you, make sure you behave yourself and all that. That was done. Parole. That was all done. And so I had called Dave Barley. I called Weiland, Earl Jones. I called, all of the big names that were active. And I said, if you'll come to my house, I'll put you up, feed you, and I want to meet with you, and I want to make a proposition. I'm getting ready to announce that I'm coming out with the Christian Israel message. And they came. They came to Houston, Missouri, and came to my house. And that's the only time my wife ever put anybody up in the house. Now, she loves doing it. She does it all the time. But she put them up, and we had a meal. We were sitting around the table, and I said, gentlemen, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to work together as a people. And every single one of them said, no, we can't do that. If we do that, we become too easy a prey for the enemy, which I don't believe. But, I mean, you don't think the enemy knows where we all are? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. But they said no. And I was kind of offended. I was kind of a little sad when they left. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to pray about this because I thought God was telling me to talk to him. And I prayed about it. And I was up most of the night. I didn't sleep well that night. And the next morning I told my wife, I said, I got the answer. She said, what? She said, I'm going to have my first conference in Branson. And I wrote every one of them a letter and said, I want you to come and preach in my conference. And they all accepted. And, you know, the enemy didn't drop a bomb on Branson and blow us all up. But one of the things that we have to learn and we need to do, I told Brother Elmore that if I was not actively involved in pastoring and reaching out. I mean, we've got a fairly good group now that's growing in Mountain Home, Arkansas. We had a young couple come and they had a baby and they wanted us to dedicate the baby. We did. We had a wedding among a family in our church here in Houston, and they've had a baby now and they wanted that one dedicated. Then I get calls all the time. There's a family in Arizona. There's a family in Utah. There's two families in Minnesota. And there's three or four other families that are trying to move to our area to be close to a church. Now, I think that's what we need to do. I think that's what God's people need to do. You heard Brother Don say he quit his job and moved. He was trying to find a church. The first priority is not a job. The first priority is a church. That's where we need to be. And that's what we need to do. So I am very, very strong on the church. And I believe that the Lord said, I will build my church. I will add to my church. He didn't say, I'll start a new church, because he's got one. He's had it since the wilderness. It's called Israel. And he is going to give us leaders. He is going to give us gifts. He's going to give us the power we need. We live in a very, very troubling time. But I am not troubled. I believe that we have all of the power and the tools that we need to defend ourselves against the enemy. Now, it may be the Lord's will that some of us will perish. I don't know. And if that so be it, we need to be willing to make that sacrifice. How many of you have seen Bill Gates' presentation on YouTube on the God gene? Have any of you seen that? Well, if you go online and go to YouTube and type in the search Bill Gates' briefing to the CIA on the God gene. And he talks about these people who are unwilling to compromise. They won't change their mind. They won't go along for the good of all. And he talks about they have located that somewhere in the back of the brain there is a special group of cells that grow in your brain. And he says, we have now figured out a way to destroy that with vaccine. So what they're trying to do is eliminate 3 trillion or 4 trillion people. And the rest of the people, they want that fixed. So we all are dummies and we go along and we obey and we do whatever they tell us to do. I'd say they've done a pretty good job so far. Most of the people in our town, they lined up when they said, line up free. We're going to have a free vaccine. Everybody just lined up, you know. But we've got a great number or two that don't. We've got some people that are knowledgeable. God's got his people. There are a lot of people that have said no to the vaccine, and they don't even know why they said no. But God has put them in that position. So we need to pray for them. I'm going to let you ask questions. I could talk for hours, and I might not hit the things you want to know about. Is there anything that's on your mind that you'd really like to have some input? Oh, by the way, before we do that, I want you to know that YouTube did take one of my videos down. And the reason is because since David died, the guy that did it, he used to edit out the stuff he knew they would go against. But I think what's happened is that God wants them to hear what's being taken out. And so they took down one of my videos, and I have a new man that's taking the camera part. And I have another man who's putting them up, but he cannot edit. All he can do is take it and put it up so that it plays. And so we've decided starting this month, we're going to put everything on my website. They can't take it down from there. We may still put some up on YouTube, but we're going to put it up on my website. How many of you, if you don't know where my website is, I'm going to leave some cards here that got the website on it. It's simple. It's just EverettRamseyDD.com. And I put the DD not because I'm proud to have a doctor's degree, but because somebody else had Everett Ramsey. I tried to just have EverettRamsey.com, but somebody already owned that site, and I had to put something else. I could have put Everett Ramsey 1-2 or 10-11 or something else, but I just chose the DD. And you can go there. Our videos will be there, and they will be unedited. You'll get to hear things that we talk about that have not been put up to this point. And we talk about COVID. We talk about things that are happening, like I did about the med beds and things of that nature. So you'll get to hear some of that stuff. Anybody have a question? Yes.
My cousin passed away.
Okay. Yeah, I would never do that. God has not given me the power of resurrection.
I
hurt for you and I'm sorry, but you're asking me to do something that would violate my relationship with God, you know.
I just wanted to make sure we was like...
You were right. Yeah, so that's good. Anybody else? Yes. All right. His son. Yeah. That's what, there are two sources of news. One is the mainstream media that gives us nothing, and then there's the news that comes from what is called the Alliance, which is Donald Trump, General Flynn, his brother, the attorney, Lynn Wood, and all the team, there's 200, and they're all called Q. Mr. Kennedy, President Kennedy, started that group. He's the first one to find out what happened. If you fly over Kennedy's grave, you'll see a Q around his headstone. He put together retired generals and active generals, anybody that loved America, that he knew it, and they were not part of the Rothschild gang that was trying to run this country. He put them together, and they started on a mission to take the country back. They found out all the things that you and I have heard about but could not prove. One of those was that the United States was incorporated and taken out from under the Constitution. If you asked people when, you couldn't find out. If you asked where's the incorporation papers, they couldn't tell you. Well, these people did. It was done under Ulysses S. Grant, who was president back in 1871 after the Civil War. He was not a good man. He was a bad man. But he had to raise money to do what they call the rebuilding of the South, Reconstruction. And he had to borrow the money, or he thought he did. And he went to the Bank of England, and that's where the Rothschilds and the international bankers operate out of. In 1871, the bankers said, we'll loan you all the money you want, but you have to do these things. And one of them was you have to incorporate the area known as Washington, D.C., and all of its assets, meaning its buildings. And it was after that point that they put up the Washington Monument, which you know is nothing more than a Masonic Baal phallic symbol. That's all it is. And they put it up. There are three of those. One was in the United States in Washington, D.C. One is in London, and one is in Rome at the Vatican. And those are the three top spots that they had. That's where their control was. And so he incorporated the government, and they took it out from under the Constitution. And then they set up the Federal Reserve to run the money and the IRS to collect the money. What we knew but we couldn't prove is that they also took your birth certificate as an asset, and they traded those. They have now found those in the tunnels under the Vatican. And you will get a chance to see it, and you will see on it every time it's traded, it's stamped as to who traded it, one of the bankers, and the assets that they got out of it. And you will be given a new and a different birth certificate from the state where you were born, not from the federal government or not from the bankers' view. Also, we know that when you made a checkout for your income tax or your Social Security, it did not go to the federal government. It went to the IRS, and it went to the Vatican Bank. And the Vatican Bank had all of the money, and they set up counts where a certain portion would go to pay to the Rothschilds and others. But the big part of the money was put into accounts of people who were going to be bribed and put in office and would be their moles. For instance, Obama. We know that the first trip that Obama made when he became president was to the Vatican. And the reason he went there is because they had to get his signature and get him on to this account. They gave him an account, and it had $20 million in it. And they said, this is yours, and you will have more as long as you do what you're told. And if you don't do what you're told, you will be killed. And they said that to every one of our senators. They've said that to every one of our House of Representatives. They've said that to the Attorney General. They've said that to the Supreme Court justices. They have said it to many of the lower court justices. They have taken our money and bribed their people to rule their way. So they've never, since 1871, we have not had a country that we have run, nor have they run it for our interest. It's been run for whatever. And the wars that have been fought were for the bankers. Was not for anybody else. Washington, D.C. is not the capital today, will not ever be again the capital. It is being changed. And it will not all be in one city. We know that the White House probably will either be in Florida or Texas. We know that the Treasury will be in Reno, Nevada. We know that there are other portions of the government will be in different places. But it will be on American soil. It will never, ever again be able to be incorporated and taken out from under the Constitution. But this is what's happening. These are the things that are taking place now. And that's why it's much more than I want to take the time to talk about. It's things you can go read about and you can learn yourself. There's a place called Before It's News on the web. Go there and look at it. Go to the place called Dinar Chronicles Intel. You can go there.com. There are several other places. BitChute now carries a lot of different things. The whole plan for the takedown of the Kabul is on video. The last I heard, it had been taken off of YouTube, and it's on BitChute. But I had seen it. There's four very long videos that talk about how they were going to do that. The thing that was encouraging to me and the reason I feel comfortable with it is because Trump and Flynn and Mr. Wood and most of the people in that Q number of 200 are asking us to pray. They are telling us that we cannot expect to win unless God is with us, and that we must have repentance and return to biblical practices of a Christian country. They agree that we were a Christian country in the beginning, and they want us to return to that. But, again, would I bet my life on all of this? No, probably not. But I certainly wouldn't bet my life on the mainstream media either. But those are things that I would say. How many of you know the name Bezos? Do you know the name Bezos? Do you know who that is? He was president of Amazon. He created that company, made billions. He came out a few months ago and made a very sweet announcement about he was resigning as president of Amazon, and he was going to spend more time doing charitable things or whatever. Well, he was lying through his teeth. He was arrested. He was arrested because he was one of the biggest manufacturers and sellers of adrenochrome, which is the blood from the children that they sacrifice, and the adrenaline that's in there that all of these people drink. And also, he paid for three Oval Office sets in Hollywood. One of them is in Castle Rock. Then they moved one to Boston, and one's in Atlanta. But none are in Washington, D.C. When you see the media and they say, we're going to go to our correspondent at the White House, they show you the White House, then they show you the correspondent. They may even have a picture of the White House, but they're not at the White House. There's nobody at the White House. It's been closed for a year. Ever since Trump left it, it's been closed. They found tunnels under there that were filled with living and dead children, and they've taken them out by the thousands. Obama proudly put in his Twitter account that he had spent $16,000 on a wiener roast for the kids. Well, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the pedophilia that's going on under the White House. And President Trump says it's so wicked, I don't want to go back there. And so they're not going back there. You have to understand that I read this morning that they're going to make an announcement today. I have not seen it, have not heard it. And they're very notorious for giving you dates that they always miss, and that bothers me. I don't like that. That tells me something is not happening like it's supposed to. But they said today would be the announcement of the implementation of NESARA. I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, then that will change the whole picture. Because you have to remember, since 1871, everybody who's run for election and got elected on the federal level was elected for a corporation, not for the government, including the president, every senator, every representative, every official that is appointed, the people who are appointed in the Supreme Court and the federal courts and all of that. So if they truly do go back to NESARA, they're going to everything that's been decided since 1871 in the federal courts will be null and void. That's civil rights. That's the abortion laws. All of that will be gone. that's why they're not talking about it openly, is because what would happen in Cincinnati if they knew what we were talking about this morning and they believed that what we're talking about was going to happen? What would happen over there? They'd burn the city down. The welfare programs will all be gone. And they're not going to be any more Federal Reserve money. It's going to be asset-backed money. And it's probably all going to be computer chip money. I don't know how much longer they're going to print money. Probably not very long. They're talking about... One of the things that we have to get used to is that whether it's Rothschild or it's Trump, it's going to be international.
It's going to be what?
One world. Well, at least in the beginning, it's not going to be based on that kind of chip. It's going to be based on a credit card chip.
Okay.
You will be given a card. You will not be able to write checks. You'll use a card.
No, some countries have already started the chip in people's hands, because I came across a couple. I
right.
was retail, and I had a couple, a lady tell me, she said she was in this country and seen it, that half that country's already...
That's where they want to go.
Yeah.
And just because... Even if Trump comes back and things get straightened out, that won't be the end of the enemy trying to go to a one-world government where they control everybody. I still think we're not out of the woods on the forced vaccination of COVID. I think we still are going to face that ticket somewhere down the road.
Jack Moore told me once that do not be surprised if you see a military coup in America. He said there's a lot of generals that are pro-Constitution and a lot that are United Nations. And he said, don't be alarmed if this happens.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what happened. When Trump left office, before he left office, he signed the Insurrection Act, which gave him the authority to hand the government over to the military. And the military had been running it. Joe Biden and all of them talking about all this money they're spending. Now, the money that we got came before Biden got in. I haven't got anything from Biden. And the reason is Biden is not Biden. And number two is he doesn't control the United States Treasury. The military does. And so he doesn't have any money. The only money they have is the retirement fund for them. If they want to spend that, which they won't, but they don't have any money. Well, you're probably not naive. You're probably cautious.
Okay. So you're saying that every single senator, that would include Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. And so what does that say also about Fox News, who promote these senators on their day?
Okay. First of all, I want to make it known that when I said everybody who got elected got taken over to the Vatican, not everybody said yes, okay? And what happened is that the next time they ran, the enemy put up an opponent that they thought would beat them, and most of them get beat. Now, Rand Paul's been reelected a couple of times, so. And we have a guy in Missouri, what's his name?
Hawley.
Good. He's a good man. He's a Christian. And I think he probably said no. But what did they do? They sent BLM and Antifa over to his house. And when his wife and kids were there by themselves, knocked on the door. And when they came out, they tried to drag him out and beat him up. So, you know, it's obvious that he probably didn't say yes. He probably said no. So there are some. But the fact is still he represents the corporation. The problem is the corporation now does not exist because in 2013 it went bankrupt. It had more debt than it could collect. And the reason, you know, sometimes you have to, one thing about Trump, he's not a good Christian from our standpoint. I understand that. But let me tell you something. He knows how to fight and negotiate. He knows how to fight a battle. He has taken that book, what's called The Art of War, and that's his life plan. And what he did when he decided to make this move, he knew that the corporation of the country was broke. What did he do? He went to the Fed that was already incorporated into the U.S. Treasury, and the woman is for gold, the head of it. But he said, I want you to print as much money as you can. I want them as broke as they can possibly be. And he put out another $2 or 3 trillion of debt against the Federal Reserve. There's no way they can pay it. There's no way anybody can. And that's why when they go to the new system, we're going to have, hopefully, the first jubilee of debt release, because it's going to be nationally, and it's also going to be individual. The only debt that will not be free, be taken care of, is if you borrowed money from an individual and you had a contract with them, then you still owe that. But I know at least one person whose house mortgage has already been paid. And I know another person who is from Canada who says last year all of the credit card debt in Canada was forgiven. Yes.
I have a question towards Trump, and I followed this really close. I mean, I was with Q and all that, and then it kind of started disappearing where I couldn't find him. I didn't know where to go. But what about the Jews in his own family? His daughter married Kushner.
Okay.
Because I mean, I know, like you said, he's not necessarily a Christian as we see it, but...
Well...
Because you know he's got to be whispering in his ear.
I will tell you that in the beginning, that was my first concern.
Yeah.
Was what about his son-in-law? He's a Jew, and he's one of the worst ones. He's on that, whatever they call it. He's part of some group that believe in killing off all the other people. And I wrote to the Alliance, and I asked them about this. I said, how can Trump ever be credible if he doesn't deal with the real true enemy that runs the bank? In fact, the Alliance now calls them the Jewish Mafia. They call them the Jewish Mafia. Their position is that there are a lot of Jews that are just like a lot of us. They're not engaged, but they know that they have leaders who are engaged. And they wrote me back and said, Mr. Trump, sat down with, you have to realize that Trump was brought into the Q group 10 years before he became president. They were working on this for 10 years with him. And he sat down with his son-in-law and his daughter and said, you know what we're going to do. And we're going to put the Jewish bankers out of business. And he said to his son-in-law, you can either help me and stay alive, or you can say no and you will die just like they do. And he said his son-in-law and his daughter agreed to be on the helping side. Do they lie? Yes. Can we believe them? I don't know. But I've heard from General Flynn, and I've heard from the lawyer, that both of them have said, don't worry about the Israeli Jews. They will be taken care of last, whatever that means. Now, everybody here says, why don't they take care of them first? Well, I don't know what their strategy is. I don't have the facts. I don't know why they do what they do. But I don't have any other choice but to wait and see what happens. I don't know. Yeah.
What's your feelings towards the truth of JFK Jr. being alive?
Oh, well, I didn't know if that would come up or not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
When that happened, it was such a fiasco. I could not believe how they handled it. Just like when Hillary's friend got shot and murdered in the park,
oh,
and they turned everything over to the park police. I mean, this is insane.
But what she's talking about is that when Kennedy put the group first group together and called him Q, his concern was that he would be killed. He believed he would be he believed they would make an attempt to kill him. And he was worried about his son, what do they call it, John Boy or Junior or whatever. And the people that he put in the group, he made two requirements. Number one is that if anybody in this group dies, you have to replace them with somebody of like character and mind that agrees with what we're doing. And number two is this group is ultimately responsible for the safe care and keeping of my son. So now everybody is saying that John Jr. is alive, and he's been working with Trump and with this organization for the last 20 years or so. I have no idea. I don't know. I wouldn't know John Jr. if I saw him on the street. I wouldn't know him. But there is a very, very, very strong feeling among most people in the Patriot community that he's still alive and that he's working. In fact, according to the news that we're getting from this alliance is that he is actually, he is acting vice president under Trump. Who, Pence? He's out. I mean, it was proven that he was homosexual and involved in a lot of other things. You know.
Do